The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Do we have too much comic book stuff? Apparently not, because everything that gets released is successful, more successful than the last thing. So perhaps these people are just griping because they haven't had the opportunity to ride the Marvel train.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and right here on the ESO Network.
What do we got here?
Stab wounds in our upper back.
Tough time imagining with just the outline.
Ken, get in the position and slowly be dying too.
Once we enter the anomaly, we are going where no one has gone before.
Life is just a blink. It is one heartbeat in the entire lifespan of the universe.
Captain? Captain? Are you with us?
Today we seek to understand a threat like none our galaxy has faced before.
What exactly is this anomaly?
We're not certain.
Our ship was hit by something.
I'm an old friend of the family.
I thought you weren't going to help train Grogu.
I'm not. Master Luke is.
Then what are you doing here?
That's my question for you.
I'm here to see the kid.
Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club, someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over. Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes. Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule, if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sams, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things con.
Did that beginning seem like it was going extra fast that time?
I don't know.
No.
I'm curious. I have a question about our intro.
Yeah?
Like, Ben, how are you pronouncing Sauron?
How am I pronouncing Sauron?
Yeah, because it almost sounds like you're putting an extra in Sauron in that intro.
No, I'm talking about Zordon.
Zordon
from the Power Rangers. That's
yeah. Oh, well, then you just need to enunciate more.
Welcome to the Con Guy Show.
Woo! Fix your stand-up bits.
That's a hot take.
Everyone's a critic.
This is the Con Guy Show, our monthly happy hour. So if anybody is enjoying a happy hour drink, please do it responsibly, especially if you are partaking of Ben. Who's our sponsor?
Hey, shout out to our sponsor, Neft Vodka. Neft Vodka, of course, always reminding you to please drink responsibly. Neft Vodka, the world's best tasting vodka, according to their slogan.
Anyways, we are here.
Somebody corroborated that. Like, somebody was like, man, this is the world's best tasting vodka. It is actually a really good vodka if you're one to partake in it. As far as vodkas go, it's great.
Absolutely. Wait. Promo.
I've still never had it.
I got some.
I'm supposed to say that.
Hashtag show sponsored, but wait. We got some stuff. Wait, I'll show it here anyways. But we're here in the nerdy part of Hollywood, guys. We're coming to you from Hollywood, bringing you all the geeky fandom-related news from the entertainment capital of the world. I don't think we talk about it enough. We're stuck right smack in the middle of where all this stuff is happening, and maybe we take it for granted that we just got to go out the back door and like, oh, there it is. It's kind of cool. Anyways, my name is Jim Fry. I am one of your co-hosts for tonight, and we are back, first time in a while, full hosting brigade here. Let's see who we have with us. Let's start up right here. Who do we have beside me?
Are you pointing at me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I only saw your shoulder when you pointed, so I was like, I think that's at me. Hello. Go ahead. Hi, I'm Danae. I'm one half of the Samblings, half of the Con Girls, and a writer slash comedian right here in Hollywood area of Los Angeles. So excited to chat tonight. So excited for just a quick teaser. Next week, we've got an awesome Con Girls show coming that I've been prepping for. So I'm limited on what to talk about today because I've been getting ready for next week and I'm excited about it.
All right.
And I'm Cheeseman, the only remaining Browns fan in the world, ready for Super Bowl next week. Representing Ohio with the Bengals. Although if Rams win, that's also a win-win for me because I'm from Ohio, live in LA now. So either way, I'm a winner. So either team can win, but I'm pulling Ohio. I'm Cheeseman. I am a screenwriter here in Hollywood. And also I'm one of the founding members of theconguy.com.
Well, and Luke, I don't know if you realize that the Rams originated as the Columbus Rams.
I do know that. Cleveland okay. Rams. Yep.
Mike Emke, go Browns. Dog pound here.
Dog pound.
Derek.
Hi, I'm Derek Sams. I'm the other half of the Samblings. Not any part of the Con Girls unless they allow me to come on now and then as a guest. I am also a writer, I'm a foster dad, and I'm the self-proclaimed bitter old man of the group, even though I'm the third oldest.
Okay, we don't talk about age here, old dude. Mm-hmm. Katie.
Old dude.
What's up, y'all? Sorry if my voice is a little bit meh. I just recovered from the COVID, so my voice hasn't come back a little bit yet. So you guys are like, why does she sound a little different? That is why. But yeah, I am part of the Con Girls. Like Danae said, we have a special Galentine's Day show next week. We did a Witcher show a couple weeks back where we recapped the show, which you can find on all of our partners' outlets.
And happy birthday, Amanda!
Happy birthday, Amanda!
I'm a streamer, cosplayer, costume designer, nerd, all that stuff. So.
And Katie's got a very cool haircut going on right now. I think it looks great.
I did something that I've been wanting to do for like 10 years and just shaved off some of my head. So,
let's look at that.
There we go.
That looks awesome.
Punk rock.
Also got rid of the majority of all the really badly bleached hair from leftover from the quarantine. So,
hey, Ben.
What's up? Blood good.
It's pronounced up, blood good.
Blutgood. Bah. Hey everybody, it's me, old buddy Ben. I am an actor, comedian, writer, producer, director. I do all these different things to various degrees of success. And I'm also a regular contributor here with the Con Guy, and I'm so excited to be back. I'm glad we're having a hostful. And I did I want to announce I stand corrected. I had to look it up myself just to make sure, but they were the Cleveland Rams. I don't know why I thought they were the Columbus Rams. I think the Clippers were the Columbus Clippers.
True.
Before they moved to San Diego. I think that's what it is. And
Columbus Clippers still like Rams
because of my Vaughn Miller. There, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Man.
Are you guys talking about the sport with the oblong shaped ball?
I hate you.
The pigskin. The pigskin game.
Have you noticed it's become a reverse thing? Now the nerds are like bullying the jocks and they're like, oh, which sport is that?
Yep. Are you guys talking about men's football?
Yes, I remember though one of my favorite Super Bowl parties. I mean, I have no idea who was playing. I just remember Derek and his group set up a board game in front of the television during the Super Bowl, turned their backs to the Super Bowl, and played this board game during the game.
Well, this is what I always did. Like as a kid, the Super Bowl would be on, and I'd be sitting in the floor working the puzzle that I got for Christmas. That was back when the Super Bowl was in January, you know. I mean, it was the way I would entertain myself. And then all of a sudden, people would just jump up and yell, and it would mess up my concentration on the puzzle I was working on. Very rude.
You must be a Browns fan as well.
I would always go to the sports because there's nobody there.
For all the sports ball fans, obviously, I'm not a football fan, but I do like some sports. But I got to tell you, and this is just a PSA, and it shouldn't have to be said, but I'm going to. If you're buying food for your big day, you know, watch party, which hopefully your watch parties are probably a little bit, you know, hit or miss right now. You know, you don't want to, you know, everybody feels there has their own level of safety. Don't steal someone else's credit card numbers and use that to buy all your food, because that happened to me a few years ago.
What?
I woke up on Monday morning after Super Bowl Sunday and was like, why are there $800 worth of food, like fast food, charged to my card? So,
well,
that's my Super Bowl memory.
So, PSA, don't steal.
Hey, Katie, I would like to give one more shout out to, do we have it here? To the Con Girls. The Con Girls have been, they've kind of launched their own show this year. And do you guys have a special show coming up next week, right?
We do. Danae and I have to still figure, we have to have like a little FaceTime or something where we can actually discuss what exactly the plan is, because there's a lot of ideas going about here. But we're just going to have fun for Valentine's Day as a bunch of single ladies. We are going to have a Valentine's Day show online for anybody who maybe doesn't have plans on Valentine's Day or wants to distract their brain on Valentine's Day, whatever it may be, or you just want to hang out with us while we are absolutely ridiculous. We'll be doing a show next Monday with my roommate as well, Emily, live. And it's going to be fun. There's probably going to be some murder show talk. There's going to be celebrity Valentines that we're going to create and read off on the air. So you definitely don't want to miss it. It'll be at 8 o'clock. And you know what? She didn't technically endorse it, but I'm going to say it's also one of our partners for the Con Girls Galentine's Day show would be Leslie Knope, because we know it would be Leslie Knope approved. So,
All right. And also, if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out over on the Scare Guy show, last week we did a cool interview with the co-directors of The Ghosts of the Ozarks. This is David Arquette's other horror movie that he has out right now. So if you haven't had a chance yet, go check out this Ghosts of the Ozarks. It's an interesting take. It's an old gothic horror movie. Is it gothic? American Gothic, set in the Reconstruction of America after the Civil War. It's just really cool. Really cool. All right. We're gonna jump. We got a lot to talk about tonight, because what we're doing is this week we're taking a bite out of all the news and events and things that have been coming out, because a lot's happening right now. A lot of announcements have been made. A lot of shows are coming out. You know, we've conventions coming up, but everyone here is excited to share what they're excited about. So what we're going to do, we're going to go around the horn. All the hosts are here. They're going to tell us what they are excited about. And if you are watching or if you want to contribute, let us know what you're excited about. I'm sure we can find something to talk about there as well. All right. Who wants to go first? There's so much going on. Who wants to go first? How about the male half of the Samblings? Derek.
I knew I was going to get chosen. So I've got a couple things to talk about. I thought I would take some time to talk about what's trending in Trek and Tolkien. I do adore alliteration because I'm also an English nerd. But yeah, so just recently we did get this. We've been getting a little bit of information here and there about this Amazon Prime Lord of the Rings series. It's been in the works for a long time. That is slated to be the most expensive TV, or you can call it TV, most expensive series ever. Because it's streaming instead of like a broadcast sort of thing that we used to have. Anyway, there's been all this different buzz, different rumors and things, and we did finally get some more information, and we got that cool logo intro thing a couple weeks ago, and I think it was just this week, just in the last few days, we started getting this, we got 23 images, really. They sort of look like posters. Yeah, there are a couple of them. And this is all we've got. Like, we don't have the names of the characters. We've got, like, kind of a bit of torso where you can see some costuming. You've got a person's hands holding some really cool, some kind of prop. So it's just clues about these characters. And what's really fun is to get on things, places like the OneRing.net, and see all the speculation. And that one right there with the broken sword, I read the most amazing comment about it, because this was on the OneRing.net. One of their commenters said, "It's a black sword, but the broken Gurthang was buried with Turin at Qabed and Amrus. The Anglicel version merely became dulled after Beleg died. Turin had it reforged in Nargothrond, but it wasn't broken. That's a puzzle. Or could it be Angrist?" Exactly. And I was technically speaking the common tongue, not the speech of Mordor. Anyway, so like that kind of deep dive nerdery is what we're probably getting with this series. Like, that when you get that level of speculation, this is based on some of Tolkien's other works. You've got things like mostly it'll probably be coming from the Silmarillion, but we've got some stuff, maybe some unfinished tales, there are so many things out there, I'm not even sure where to begin listing them. And also some stuff that was never even published, possibly from some of his notes from the Tolkien estate they might have had access to. But there are rumors like this, and with some of the casting announcements, we know we're going to have the Harfoots or Harfeet, which were some early hobbits, basically. We're probably going to get some of the stuff of the race of Numenor before it fell. If anybody knows what these things are, you probably already know this news. But things like, you know, the prologue at the first Lord of the Rings movie, for people who haven't read the book, we get a little bit of the history. There were the 19 rings of power, 3 for elves, 9 for men, and 7 for dwarves. And there's a whole lot more to that story. And Sauron basically secretly forged the one ring to control all of the others. But that actually all took place over a very long period of time. And there was a whole lot building up to that in the history of Middle-earth too. And this is all during the Second Age. So basically we're looking at stuff that's going to take place thousands of years before the Lord of the Ring. But we might see some of the characters because there's some overlap there with characters who are, you know, basically immortal, like elves or Valar or Maiar. Yeah, these are all Tolkien terms. So we might see some of the same wizards. We might see Radagast. We might see Gandalf. We might see earlier versions of Sauron. There is one of those pictures where somebody's got like really intense, spiky, a Viking-looking gauntlet holding a sword that's also kind of... Yeah, there we go. So some people were speculating this could be an earlier Sauron before he like actually made the ring and, you know, that kind of what he would have looked like ahead of time. It might not look so dark like that, though, because he was actually like doing this whole friendly mode because he was very deceptive at this point in Middle-earth history. So some people speculated this could actually be Morgoth or Melkor, the guy who was Sauron's boss before. My take is probably the Witch King of Angmar before he actually gets a ring and becomes a wraith. Anyway, there's a whole lot of stuff like this. And this is like the kind of conversation that's going on among the Tolkien fans. And you still, yeah, I love the look on your face, Jim. You have no idea what most of these names are that I'm even saying.
So, question.
Yeah.
Have they announced anybody who is in it yet? Like actual actors? Or have they not announced any of that yet?
They've announced a few.
They have announced a few. One that I know of is Sir Lenny Henry, I think. It's not an actor I'm familiar with, but I read about him. And I'm like, oh, this is a British actor. He's a comedic actor. He's been around for a while. He's the guy who created Red Nose Day and the Comic Relief Charity. And he announced that he was playing a Harfoot, which is one like kind of like subculture among early hobbits, if you will. So we know that much, that there's some of that in there, even though they're barely mentioned in the Silmarillion. Yeah. But you know that they existed at that point. They just weren't coming into the history of elves and men who would have been recording all that.
But they've kept a lot of it pretty, like, quiet, it seems like. Like,
they really have.
Teasing us. They're completely teasing us through every step of the way. And I think that's pretty, but I mean, don't, like, even if this is just a glimpse of their costume and their, and the props that are, the weapons that are being used in this show, like, I'm already like, all right, Amazon. Yeah. Like,
and like, at the same time, I'm a little bit nervous because they don't, these, like the Silmarillion, none of you have read it.
Well, I read it in 2 hours this afternoon.
Yeah. So like, Tolkien's other writings are not nearly as popular as something like Lord of the Rings. Yeah, because, you know, like, that's where those were novels, and like, the story is really developed. When you read something like the Silmarillion, it's like reading history. Like, really, the first chunk of it, I feel like I'm reading Genesis, because there's a creation story at the beginning, and then there's just like the early story of the elves in the world, and the Valar and their interactions with it, all these things. And it just builds for a really long time. And it's like, it feels like reading the Old Testament almost. Because you've got like just this long narrative of like these people, and then it moves on, and it's like a big long history. So for that reason, it makes me a little uneasy. I'm like, okay, I really hope that they've gotten some really strong writing in here and developed some good stories and good characters, and also that they haven't like made huge mistakes by trying to go too far into the Game of Thrones territory. Because like there was that news that came out a while back about them having an intimacy coordinator on set, and like there was a lot of some backlash among fans because like Lord of the Rings is very, I mean, it might be hard to say family friendly because it's very violent, but you know, Tolkien did not write sex scenes in his story. Like, yes, that these are characters that reproduce, but that's about as much as we know, you know. We're not, and the Lord of the Rings fans, you've got a lot of people who are, you know, really dedicated to Tolkien's writing. He was Catholic and he hung out with like Anglicans, and there are a lot of Christian themes in there. So you've got a lot of people in like religious circles who are big fans of this stuff. And if those people get really angry because if this show gets too sexy, or if just the story and the characters are not very strong, it's going to be a big loss of money. Granted, Amazon is probably going to be okay, but it would be really sad to not see the show really continue, because there's a whole lot that they could get into here, and stuff that if you've ever read the Silmarillion or Tolkien's other works, stuff that you probably have hoped that someday you could see on screen in some form.
So, Derek, let me ask you this real quick. And I heard that it's like they've spent like $500 million just on this first season. $500 million. I mean,
yeah, I don't remember what the number was. I know it was massive. Yeah.
So is this, when you say the Silmarillion, and so for those of us who are Tolkien fans, kind of, I was a high school English teacher, and I taught The Hobbit once, but never got into, you know, the Lord of the Rings. But like, when you say his other works besides the Silmarillion?
Silmarillion.
It's the history of Middle Earth, right?
Yeah, and the title comes from specifically the Silmarils, were these three jewels that work into the history a whole lot. But it's not; it doesn't just center around them. It goes from, because essentially, Tolkien was creating his own mythology for, and drew from Norse mythology and other things to Celtic stuff, and kind of most Norse mythology was the biggest, but he was developing all this stuff. So it starts with a creation myth and moves from there. And you have like the way, like the different races in there, the elves and dwarves and men, and like how they were functioning and how they fell, essentially.
Right.
And it really gets into a whole lot of interesting philosophical questions about, you know, like the nature of evil, and a whole lot about human nature too. And it's very fascinating, but it is, you're reading a mythology.
It is interesting though. Like, I know that he was a professor of languages, and like he invented languages, and like, it's kind of, from what I understand, that's where he started. He invented a language, and he had to come up with a history which supported why this, because like, language doesn't develop in a vacuum. It has all these historical events that shape it. And so like, he started with the language. This would be like, and I think Elven was his first language, the beautiful Elven language. And he started working his way out. Like, what are the four outside forces that formed this language, and how do they interact with?
Well, actually, when you say Elvish, it's kind of like saying Chinese. I mean, because there's Mandarin and there's Cantonese, and within Elvish, there's like, you know, there's Quenya and Sindarin, and yeah, anyway, he started with one of those and got another one. And as you're saying, if you look at linguistics at all, you're also like, you can't separate language from culture and history, right? Because all these things kind of weave together. And so he was developing all of that. And then somewhere along in there, he started telling more of these stories within that, and eventually got to The Hobbit, and then, you know, tweaked things, got to The Lord of the Rings. And a lot of those stories changed over time too, like different. So there, it, like, just with all of his notes, stuff that wasn't published before he died, there were a lot of inconsistencies. And then,
yeah. Oh no, you muted yourself.
The thing that's cool about the Silmarillion, like, I actually, a friend of mine gifted me a collection of CDs. And when I was moving to Los Angeles, the goal, I was driving a moving truck. It was going to take me 4 days. And so I was like, yes, this is perfect. I'm going to listen to the Silmarillion for 4 days straight across the country. I went and picked up the truck. It didn't even have a radio, much less a CD player. That was awful. So I still haven't heard it. I still don't know anything about the summer.
I don't think that's a trip anybody wants to take.
Uh-uh.
No, yeah, right. Music in a moving van for 4 days.
That's rough.
It was very many years ago, but I was moving on the night that Return of the King won the Academy Award for Best Picture. So came full circle. Anyways, Derek. So the most of this series, from what you understand, is based on the Silmarillion, or is it based on other stuff?
Well, that is something they've been very tight-lipped about. And I mentioned Sir Lenny Henry earlier talked about the fact that he was cast as a Harfoot. He didn't say his character's name or anything. But he may have revealed more than he was supposed to, because he seemed to suggest they were drawing mostly from the Silmarillion, but also from other work. So we don't know what all there is. But there are things like the Book of Lost Tales. And there's something called Unfinished Tales. The Children of Húrin, I think, is another one. And that's all related to the history of Middle-earth. And so there's a lot of stuff out there. And in addition to all of that, there's still a ton of unpublished notes, from what I understand, that might have influenced some of the stuff for the series too.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it's called, yeah, Lord of the Rings, colon, War of the, it's War of the Rings, right?
No, the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Rings of power.
Yeah.
Rings of Power. People keep disappearing.
We lost Luke.
It's just like the Wizard of Oz. People come and go so quickly here. All right. So we're going to take a break from Derek's stuff, because I know he's got a little bit more to share with us.
Just a little.
Yeah. And before we jump in, Kat Bloodgood said, weirdly, the thing that she's most excited for is already released. Critical Role animated series on Prime Video. It's sitting at 100% critics score and 93% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, and is the best adult animated fantasy series to date. Has anybody here seen it?
I haven't watched it yet, but so Critical Role is like this huge phenomenon among a lot of people in our broader kind of fandom circle. I would say those types of people who are into the same things that we talk about on this podcast. And I've never watched it. I know people who are like friends with some of the people on Critical Role or know them in some capacity. And it's a lot of people really love it but I've never watched it. But it's apparently huge. Like from what I understand, it's really big among a lot of people. And it totally does not surprise me that the new Critical Role animated series is sitting with that kind of approval rating. It's largely Dungeons and Dragons based. And that's something that I'm just getting into. I've played a few games of D&D and I really liked it, but I have a ways to go before I really can get into it, but I like it a lot.
That's cool. Jonathan Wilkinson, Derek wants you to know that he loves the, let me see, he loves the hoodie.
Thanks, Jonathan.
That's very cool.
Is that real chain mail?
And we do
have, yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
We do have a comment from somebody, which is a perfect segue into our next segment. Mike Emke. By the way, I always want to remind everybody, Mike Emke, he is, okay, it's not working. Okay, Mike Emke, he is our friend from down in Florida. He starts at the Galactic Star Cruiser tomorrow at the Walt Disney World Resort. He is a sound engineer, so that's very, very cool. Mike Emke is also one of the principals of We Be Geeks, the We Be Geek network of podcasts, of which we are a part. So we are so thankful to have Mike Emke here. And Mike Emke, Con Girls here, they are brand new to the We Be Geeks, and hopefully we'll have their own series on there soon. All right. So wait, just to go off what Derek was just saying, Jonathan said that he's ready for the new Lord of the Rings game on PS5. That's cool. I didn't know there was one. All right. But the reason
I've seen a little about it.
Mike Emke at Galactic Star Cruiser, all things Star Wars. I'm not really sure because people haven't really previewed what they're going to talk about tonight. But Ben, are you talking Star Wars at all?
Maybe.
It'd be so cool if you did.
I guess I can. So Star Wars, what is that? Is it? I actually heard a really convincing. This is a total side note, but I heard a really convincing thing the other day talking about. It was a TikTok video where the guy was talking about, you know, some people call Star Wars science fiction, but that's wrong. It's actually a space fantasy. It's a space opera. It's a space western. But technically, the definition, if you're looking at it, fantasy is a story that we are to believe takes place in some other universe. Middle Earth is a different world with its own history and that sort of thing, so to speak. Or Westeros, is it takes place in a different place. It's not our Earth history. Science fiction takes place in our Earth. The Star Trek takes place in the future of our existence, or at least that's kind of the suspension of disbelief. Whereas Star Wars, well, it's definitely a fantasy. But this guy was saying, no, it's supposed to take place in our universe somewhere, because the first line says in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So technically it is science, space, fantasy, fiction, Western opera.
That clears it up.
I see that logic. Yeah.
I saw a look on Derek's face though when I said Middle Earth is kind of a separate universe, and I feel like there's something that you have to say about that.
Well, that was the second look on my face. I would push back on the definition of fantasy to begin with, because high fantasy is set in another world generally. Whereas just a fantasy, it could just be something with supernatural element of some kind. But Middle Earth is technically supposed to be in like just the forgotten history of our world. And like the term Middle Earth actually comes from, I forget where exactly, but it was used in like medieval literature to refer to Earth as like the Earth we live in between like basically like outer space. I forget if it was like outer space or beneath or like between heaven and hell, and we have the Middle Earth.
Interesting.
I've never heard that fantasy has to take place on another Earth. Like, I've never heard that as a definition for it, because
not another Earth.
It was more like a different kind of a different universe, like the same as Earth, except one where dragons exist or magic exists, and that sort of thing.
That makes sense. It's just a weird definition that I've never really heard. I just think a place where Earth, but different things exist.
I don't know if this happened on your end, but on my end, she just went, I just think of it as a place where. And I was like,
well, I did pause for a second. So it wasn't all you.
Anyway, speaking of our favorite science, space, fantasy, Western opera, recap.
How is it an opera, Ben?
Space opera.
But there's space singing. The exception of opera.
No, it's a space opera.
Singing. Danae? Haven't you watched Phantom Menace, Danae?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The world. All that out. I have zero memory of that film.
I love episode one. Anyway.
Well, then I'll be praying for you.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who makes you love the prequels more. Dave Filoni, creator of Book of Boba Fett and The Mandalorian. Speaking of, quick. Book of Boba Fett slash Mandalorian recap. Of course,
those of you who are following along, we've all realized the last two episodes of the Book of Boba Fett were basically a couple of episodes of The Mandalorian season 2.5, which is great. I kind of see Book of Boba Fett, even though Boba Fett is this great character that's been around for decades, The Mandalorian is a much newer character. Book of Boba Fett as a series is a spinoff, basically, of The Mandalorian. So it makes sense that The Mandalorian would come in and have a storyline in Book of Boba Fett. For me, that's just my opinion. IMHO. That being said, we had some great stuff in this week's episode. We had the return of Luke Skywalker. We had a lot of Luke Skywalker and Grogu building the new Jedi Temple. Of course, that temple we saw in flashbacks in the new trilogy, burning to the ground. And
hold. Spoiler warning. All right, keep going.
No, spoiler alert.
No, if they haven't seen,
if you're watching this show, 5 days after it aired. And of course, the Luke Skywalker appearance was actually done by, and I can't remember the name of the actor, but the Luke Skywalker body double with, of course, a deep fake CGI face. And they also did a deep fake audio for Luke Skywalker's voice. Mark Hamill did not record the dialogue for that episode. It was actually digitally recreated from hours upon hours of clean recordings from Mark Hamill in the late 70s and early 80s. They basically did that, but Mark Hamill did do some contributions to the episode. But I feel like it's worth noting that that's how far technology has come. We can now have young Luke Skywalker saying whatever the heck we want him to say, and it has terrifying ramifications for the rest of our lives.
That is terrifying.
It is. It's absolutely terrifying. It's great for movies. It's terrifying for everything else. We also had a huge, huge reveal in this episode with the return of I can't remember Timothy Oliphant's character's name.
That's good enough.
Anyway. Timothy Oliphant came back, and then we had, so we leaned into that thing that Dave Filoni loves to do, which is turning Star Wars into a Western, which I'm all about because I love it. And he brought back one of the best characters from the Clone Wars cartoon series and Rebels, Cad Bane, the blue-faced Cad Bane. Look at him. Oh, he looks great. And let me tell you what. So nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. And I...
That's terrible. But it's true.
The thing is, I love Star Wars, and I'm a big fan of that meme of Mr. Incredible being like, Star Wars is Star Wars. You know, I love it. Give me more. Give me more spinoffs. Give me more Book of Boba Fett. Give me more Mandalorian. Give me more characters from the Clone Wars like Bo-Katan and Ahsoka Tano and Cad Bane now coming in. People were like, oh, Cad Bane doesn't look right. He doesn't look like he did in Clone Wars. Nobody looks like they did in Clone Wars. That was a highly stylized animation style. Like, that does not translate into reality. he would look like a scarecrow that wandered off from his field if you made him look like he did in the cartoon series. I thought it was great. The mechanics of the face, I think it was makeup on an actor. I'm not sure if it was a combination of practical and CGI. Mwah, it was great. I loved it. I thought his appearance was great. And I'm super stoked for this week's episode because I would imagine we're going to see more Cad Bane. I'm hoping we're going to see a lot more characters that we've already seen. Maybe some new appearances. Who knows? It's going to be the season finale of Book of Boba Fett. We are going to be doing a special Con Guy on Thursday as a follow-up breakdown of the Book of Boba Fett season finale. And I'm super stoked. None of us have access to watch it early. I'm sure Junior over at that hashtag show could show it to us early, but I just want to watch it when it comes out. That being said, more Star Wars news. We've got a quick update on the Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series. It was leaked through a bit of a fumble this week that we believe that the Obi-Wan Kenobi series will be releasing in May of this year. We believe it's going to be releasing in May of this year. In any case, we know it's going to be releasing this year, but we think it's going to be May. It's going to be 6 1-hour episodes. Ewan McGregor
is returning as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And the biggest thing that I'm excited about, we're giving Hayden Christensen another crack at it. Hayden Christensen is a great actor. He was a great actor before coming into the Star Wars prequels. My Life as a House is an incredible film. Yeah. And I think let's all be honest, Natalie Portman's an Academy Award winning actress. She couldn't act her way out of a paper bag in the prequels, and they were all victims of poor writing and poor directing, is in my opinion.
Wait. I am so sorry. I thought of something and it's left me. Keep going. Don't let me
interrupt. That's okay. It happens to all of us, Jim. That being said, if you go back
I know what it is. Disney Plus is releasing all their series now on Wednesdays. If it comes in May, there's a certain Wednesday that it would be perfect to release on. May the 4th.
I already looked at it. I already knew May the 4th was on a Wednesday, and I was like, everything else has been coming out on Wednesdays, so.
You heard it here, kids.
Serendipity.
So that's what we're thinking. May the 4th, 2022, probably going to be the release date of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And to go back really quickly to Hayden Christensen, the prequel series, if you go back and watch Dave Filoni's Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, both available in their entirety on Disney Plus, watch the animated Clone Wars movie and then watch the Dave Filoni Clone Wars series. There's also a two-hour-and-a-half long Clone Wars mini series, vintage series. Those came out prior to the Dave Filoni series. Those are a separate thing. Those aren't counted as canon anymore. And the Dave Filoni series is a canon, but watching that series will make you like the prequels.
Can I jump in just for a second? The thing that I love that Book of Boba Fett's doing right now, and that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are doing, it's making those of us who were not the biggest fans of the prequels really appreciate the prequels. Like, I really am beginning to appreciate the prequels. It makes me want to go back and watch them.
I think the prequels had great, great story, but they were just executed poorly. I think. And that was because George Lucas was surrounded by a lot of people that had to say yes to him, and nobody would be like, George, you need to rethink that. Yep. And he had that on the original series. You know, Lawrence Kasdan and all these guys were writing it. The other people were directing it for them. John Marquard directed Return of the Jedi. I can't remember. Yep. So, you know, George Lucas, great at coming up with all of this, but needs somebody else to kind of rein him in. I think a lot of great artists and creatives do. And he didn't have that on the prequels. So that, I think that's what it was. But I think there was a great underlying story there. In addition, with more, Deborah Chow, by the way, is going to be directing the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. She directed episodes 3 and 7 of The Mandalorian's first season. In other Obi-Wan Kenobi news, an Obi-Wan Kenobi comic book is also going to be releasing in May. Very excited for that. Of course, this is going to tie a lot together from what we know. It's a 5-issue miniseries. It's going to tie together, as you can see on this cover, the Ewan McGregor and the Sir Alec Guinness storylines. It's written by Christopher Cantwell with art by Ario Anindito. It's a story of his final days on Tatooine and doing flashbacks and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be fun. And then there's also a Boba Fett comic book coming out as well, and that's going to have appearances from people like Han Solo and Chewbacca and some other characters like that, probably some Cad Bane. We're also excited for a potential rematch. Cad Bane and Ming-Na Wen's character had kind of a face-off in The Bad Batch. Fennec Shand and Cad Bane had kind of a face-off in The Bad Batch, or no, it was the last season of Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And they haven't seen each other since then, as far as we know. So they could be coming together and meeting face to face in live action, which will be exciting. And the cherry on top of everything, Star Wars Celebration is coming to Anaheim finally after a 2-ish year hiatus. When they were supposed to be there in 2020?
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah.
and then it got pushed to 2021. Now got pushed to 2022. Yeah. It's going to be at the Anaheim Convention Center May 26th through 29 of this year. If you had a ticket to 2020, it's still good. I did. I'm still good. I'm going. I'm super excited. Another additional thing. Right now, the surge of Omicron COVID-19. I know we haven't mentioned the Rona right now, except for Katie, who we're so happy is recovering. Cases are going down. It's looking really good. Of course, we've been in this type of position before. But I am here to say let's have some tempered optimism to hopefully return back to something resembling normal life as far as our daily day-to-day routines and events. I know California is dropping the indoor mask mandate for vaccinated individuals starting next week. Next week, wow. they're going to drop the mandate across the state. Now,
but LA is not.
Yeah, individual counties and cities are not necessarily doing that, but the state at the state level, they are dropping.
It's going to happen. It's that's encouraging. That's encouraging news. And you mentioned a friend of the show, Mr. Ryan Nielsen, was over here recently talking to me, and he, like you, Ben, has kept his Star Wars Celebration tickets from 2 years ago, and he is excited. We got to show it.
Now, for those of you listening, we're playing the video, if you've ever watched the show. We're playing this video that we often watch, and I believe it was the video that Ryan posted on his Instagram or Facebook or something the day that season two of The Mandalorian launched.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Okay. All I know is Ryan is such a big fan of the show, of Star Wars. I miss... Like, Ryan used to be our producer, and he's now an occasional guest here on the show, and we can't tell you where he's at, but Ryan's producing bigger things these days, really big things. We're so happy for him. He's the best guy around. So, all right.
Ryan's also a big fan of the prequel. He was shocked to learn that I did not like them at all.
Really, huh? Well.
Yeah. Anyway, we had interesting talks about that, but I will say... two things. One, I can appreciate the prequels a little more ever since The Last Jedi, because, you know, that gives me something to hate a lot. Sorry, I usually don't say that. Two, I could go back to Clone Wars just recently because my one-year-old, I asked him, do you want to watch Elmo or do you want to watch Daniel Tiger? I gave him a couple options, and he said, Doda, because he has Baby Yoda jammies, and he's been saying, that's how he says Yoda. So he's like, Doda. I was like, you want to watch Yoda? I'm like, well, we could put on Clone Wars, and he was very excited, and we watched the episode. So, you know, maybe he's going to get me back into it here.
Yes.
Hey, Ben, I can't help but ask, 5-second answer. How is episodes 1 through 4 of Book of Boba Fett treating you?
Okay,
you know what? We will find that answer out later on this week because I am super. I can't wait to talk to Ben about this because there's certain parts I love.
You're also forgetting that not everybody has seen it, and so that's
please give spoiler alerts, you guys.
Well, I'll give my five. Here's my 5-second answer. Okay, spoiler free. Well, so. Okay. The first 5 episodes of Book of Boba Fett, I'm a little torn on because I really like, there's a lot of stuff in there that I really like. I think there's a lot of really fun stuff, and I love seeing more Boba Fett. Give it to me more. Yeah. I just give me more Boba Fett. There are some points where I'm like, the writing's a little meh, the dialogue's a little meh. And I think there, even just in interviews, Tamara Morrison was like, I thought Boba Fett should talk less. And like one day Jon Favreau was not on set. And I was like, strike all these lines. I'm not going to say any of them. And then Jon Favreau came back and he's like, we need to re-record you saying all these lines. So, you know, like Tamura was even like, I don't think Boba Fett should talk as much as I am. And I don't think I should be taking my helmet off as much as I am.
There you go.
Which I kind of agree with.
Yep.
But that's,
Although they had some kick butt scenes in the desert with the sand people. All right. Danae, come back, Danae. Are you back?
I'm back. I've been back a little bit.
All right, real quick.
That was like 30.
We're gonna go over to Katie here next, but first, Jonathan Wilkinson. He was one of the things he's excited about. Journey Through the Lands Between, a new fantasy world created by Hidetaka Miyazaki, creator of the influential Dark Souls video game series, and George R. R. Martin, author of the New York Times best-selling fantasy series, A Song of Ice and Fire. Is this the game he's been working? I've seen that. Like,
about earlier.
Do you know about it, Katie?
I think I've heard about a little bit of it. I give you effort for an A for trying to say that name. it wasn't right, but it's okay. I've heard a little bit about it. In the buzz of video games and everything like that. So, I mean, anything that's a fantasy game, I'm pretty much sold on. So.
Thank you for giving me credit. Like Katie, if you can pronounce it better, because I know that culturally you are more equipped for this than I am.
I believe it's Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Okay,
so
cool.
You've got the yaw in there.
Cool. Yeah. Katie is our resident gamer, so I always love, and I some people have been like, Where's he at? Where's George R. R. Martin? Why can't he finish the series? Because he's making a video game. That's why.
He's doing everything but finishing.
He's the ultimate troll. He knows everybody wants it, and so he's not giving it to them.
All right. Katie, what kind of news or fandoms are you excited about right now?
Sorry, pardon me, guys. I'm going to take a sip of water real quick.
Okay.
Sorry,
it's understandable. Remember, Katie's just getting over being sick, so I'm just so glad she's here tonight.
So I'm talking a little bit about one of the things that I forget about, and then I literally will binge watch like all of them at once, and that is all of the true crime murder shows on Netflix. I'll forget about them, and then I'll be like, oh, why is my Netflix telling me there's 8 things I need to watch? It's because I, you know, and usually when I'm sick, that is what I watch. I watch true crime and murder shows. I don't know why. It's just, it is what I do. But me and my roommate started, we did not finish it. We watched the first 3 episodes of Murderville. And everybody here can tell you I've been talking about it in our group chat before it came out. And I know, I'm sure Ben has things to say about it too, because, sorry guys, because it is right up Ben's alley. Like literally just when I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, this is Ben's type of show. But it is a comedy, 6 episodes. They are all, I believe they're only a half hour, and the main actor is Will Arnett, which, you know, some people like, some people don't. He's actually perfectly great in this show though. And the whole premise of it is that he is a crime scene detective, and everybody else in the episodes have a script except for his celebrity partner, who is different every episode. And they are completely without a script, unless they give them like a small little piece of paper that is like, this is what you're doing. Like, but other than that, it's completely improv.
Katie, I just watched the episode with Conan O'Brien and I could not stop laughing. The funny thing about it is,
for those of you who haven't watched it, I'm not going to spoil it, but at the end of it, they do ask the celebrity guest, like, who did it? Like, who done it? And they have to try to figure out who did it based off of what they've seen on the show.
It is really an amazing
topic. You have to remember that it is a very specific type of comedy. It's not meant to be this really well-written, really well, like, it's improv, essentially. Even though everybody else is not doing improv, some of what they say is going to be reflective off of what the improv actor says. It is ridiculous. It's meant to make fun of these whodunit type shows. That is its premise. I watched the first 3. I'm not a big fan of Conan, but it was hysterical. There's one line that Emily and I literally lost it and are still quoting it. And I don't know who saw it. Did you guys all see it?
I did. Has anyone else watched it? Ben, you have?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to quote it. I promise it won't spoil anything today. But there's one episode, there's one thing, and it's the first episode is talking about a magician. And spoiler guard. They're like, you're sawing me in half. Keith, you're sawing me in half. And they're like, well, the safe word was stop, and she didn't say it. Then both Conan and Will Arnett are like,
I mean, she didn't say stop. And Emily and I are just laughing because we're like, the literally, as soon as they said, Keith, you're sawing me in half, I'm like, well, she didn't say the safe word. Like, so
one of my,
they're just dying. Like, it's one just one of those jokes that you're like, you have to like dry humor too. Like, if you don't like dry humor, you're not going to enjoy it.
Well, one of my favorite lines was when Conan O'Brien was just riffing and talking about how bullies used to beat him up as a kid. And he's like, and now all those bullies are senators. And they're like who? And he goes, Dianne Feinstein.
Of all people.
Also, I'm like, she was the head bully. Totally gonna butcher his name, but the actor from Eternals, who's in episode 3. Not Camille. What is it?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Thank you. Yeah.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hysterical. That episode is fantastic. So there are 6 episodes. Emily and I still have 3 more to watch. I know we have to watch the episode with Sharon Stone and the episode with Ken Jeong, and I forgot the last one, but
Annie Murphy.
No,
Annie Murphy does one.
Here's the thing though. My friend tweeted this. He said, season 2 lineup. All I want is Ben Schwartz. 6 episodes of Ben Schwartz. And I was like, yes, please. I just need Ben Schwartz on at least 1 episode, but I'd be okay with multiple episodes with Ben Schwartz. So it's fun. If you want something mindless that you want to watch, watch it. 2nd one, and I'll make it fast because I know we've gone long so far. I watched in its entirety today. I literally watched it, the whole thing, and it was 4 hours total. And I don't want to mess up the title, so I'm opening my phone to make sure I don't mess it up.
I know it is.
Is The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
I watched this. I can finally contribute.
And this will be spoiler free because I don't want to spoil the show for anybody. But if you have to like Kristen Bell, for one, you have to like Kristen Bell or you will not appreciate it. But just like Murderville, it is satire. It is making fun of all of these tropes that you see in those cheesy movies, but not too parody-ish. It's not like a scary movie type thing. You have to realize it's dry humor. It's a long burn, slow grind. But Emily and I were like, I don't know what we're watching, but it's hysterical. And we couldn't stop watching. Like, literally, you're just like, what is happening? I don't know, but I'm all on board for it.
How far have you gotten in it, Katie?
Oh, we watched the whole thing.
The whole thing? Okay, because here's my thought. Like, I'm not a huge Kristen Bell fan, but I thought she was really great. So yeah. I had a lot of fun. We had friends over and we all binged the whole thing in one night, which you kind of have to do or else it'll lose you. I don't agree that it was hilarious. Usually in a comedy, you're looking at a good like 3 jokes a page, and we were getting one about once every other page. They were so funny, like I had a couple of haha moments, but it was not hilarious. Like if you thought it was, that's fine, but I did not think it was. And I felt like about 2 episodes from the ending, the show forgot that it was being funny. And it was like, we're just gonna be a CW show now, and we're gonna try and figure out who did it. And we're done laughing.
Yeah, but when I say hilarious, I mean in the sense that, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's an absolutely ridiculous satire type thing. So if you're expecting as, like, sitcom, it is not that. It is definitely
It's not a sitcom, but it's still, like, even in the satire, I feel like that was just forgotten halfway through. Like, they just gave up on that aspect of it. And they were like, oh, okay, well, let's just solve this whodunit and see what happens. There was no more silliness. There was no more dry humor. There was no more like, let's poke fun at some of these things and show how ridiculous they are. It was just Kristen Bell kind of solving a murder.
So between that and Murderville, should we watch this one first and then Murderville?
I haven't even seen Murderville, and I would tell you to watch that.
I think it just depends. Murderville, you can watch like 1 or 2 episodes at a time. You don't have to binge watch it. This one,
does anybody notice a theme amongst Katie's preferred shows? They're all about murder.
Well, I'm not even mentioning the other one I watched, which was I only watched the first episode because I don't have Apple Plus and I can't stream it on my TV. I have to watch it on my screen. Is The After Party with Ben Schwartz, which is another whodunit show
there's a murder at his high school, 10-year high school, 15-year high school reunion, which also I found out I am the same age as the characters in this show because my high school graduation for 15 years was last year. So I was like, oh no, I've reached that point. Like, all right. So, but every episode is from the perspective of one of the people who is a suspect. And that's it's cool. Apple TV. So that's another one I watched. And Emily and I were enjoying it. I just have to find a time to finish it, get Apple Plus and watch it on my iPad because I don't have Apple TV, like hook up on my actual TV. So, but yeah, no, they're ridiculous. They're fun. Like I said, I go through these phases where it's just all murder. I watched another true crime documentary. So all of it, just give me all of it. Netflix is on it. It's on stuff. It's just, they know their clientele. That's all I have to say. Netflix is like, yeah, we know you. We got you. So.
Hey, Katie, what, just out of curiosity, what kind of streaming device do you have? Is it a TV? Is it a PlayStation? What do you have?
We use Chromecast.
Okay.
So
I'm trying to think, because I know Apple Plus has an app that you can download, but I'm not sure if it's compatible with Chromecast.
A lot of Apple stuff and Chromecast just don't get along very well.
Yeah, Apple and Google don't like each other.
So. What?
I know, right?
They're so similar. Yeah.
Well, we have a Roku, and so we have the Apple Plus.
Yeah.
We have a subscription. And I'll tell you what, I was resistant because I'm not an Apple guy. I'm a Windows and Android guy, but yeah. Apple TV has some great quality programming. Really, really good stuff, especially Ted Lasso, the greatest television show ever.
We should probably move on to the other stuff we were talking about.
Yeah.
No, the reason people tune in, if they tune in at all.
Hey, we had big crowds tonight, man. Five people. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Hey,
we have 250,000 followers. What are you talking about?
That's right. And Katie, by the way, real quick, you have a plug for the Con Girls. You guys have a show coming up soon about that you're putting together all about murder.
Well, we're still working on it. We're trying to figure out the details.
It's going
to
happen.
You know, if there's anything that, if you're doing a show that is female-driven, we can't really do a show without talking about the fascination with true crime.
Yep. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to see what you guys
do. My tagline for this potential podcast is, you know, like, something along, and I have to figure it out because I'm not a writer, but we're going to figure it out. Something along the lines of, you know, We're spending all our lives trying not to get murdered, so we watch all these things as research, kind of thing, to like know how to not get murdered.
We talk as I'm drinking out of a Bates Motel glass tonight. Hey,
I don't know why. I don't know why women specifically are so obsessed with true crime, but it is definitely a thing.
Hey, one of our good friends of the show, Bethany Jones, she's got a true crime podcast. Well, see if she wants to join you, ladies. Hey, Danae, do you have anything that you want to share with the group tonight?
I don't know. I was looking at what we were supposed to be talking about, and I'm like, I have notes to give along the way.
All right. No.
I know you don't want us to say it, but Jim, you were texting and you were like, here's a list of things we could talk about. What do you guys want to discuss? And I was like, I mean, I kind of know Lord of the Rings. And Derek was like, get out of the way.
That is exactly how that conversation went down.
In the virtual world.
Hey, but since we're at it, there isn't Danae, do you watch Star Trek at all?
No. I mean, I'm sorry. I grew up watching Star Trek, so now when I'm with my family, I watch it with them on Christmas and Easter.
Oh, my.
You like a good Star Trek Catholic.
Real quick, though.
A Catholic regarding Star Trek.
She's a nominal but last Trek.
All right. But we do have a true believer in Star Trek on the podcast tonight, and I would love... Because it looks like Star Trek has all of a sudden exploded onto our consciousness again. Derek.
It never left mine. I will say that.
I was about to say, but, it has?
Yeah. So in here's the thing. Way. Yeah. Well, Paramount Plus has currently, I think, 5 Star Trek series. Well, I say currently. Some of them are coming out this year.
Well, let me pull them for you, Derek, so they help you here. Yeah. Here we go.
Sure. I mean, I was just going to tell you what they were, but let's go ahead and put some images up. So these are the two animated shows, Lower Decks, which is kind of an irreverent comedy, and that's already been around for a little bit. We're about to get season 3. And then Star Trek Prodigy, which is brand new. It's kind of midway through its first season. And that is kind of, it's geared toward a younger audience. And here you see this animated Catherine Janeway. And she, from what I understand, is actually a holographic Janeway that's like there for training the young members of Starfleet.
That's cool. Okay, yeah. What about
and this? Then Strange New Worlds. That is, yeah, series premieres May 5th, 2022, season two renewal. And it's amazing, like before it even comes out, they already are planning on their season two. But Strange New Worlds centers around Captain Pike. And if you know Star Trek, you know, you'll know who he is, but they did bring him in Discovery a little bit, and now he's getting his own spinoff series. But he was originally in the very first unaired pilot episode that Gene Roddenberry created for the original Star Trek series, that Pike was the captain, and then Majel Barrett played a character called Number One, and that was before we actually had Kirk and Spock. But anyway, that's where he first started out. So, you know, a lot of old fans are excited about this kind of thing. And then Discovery is still coming back. We get season four just in a few days here, and then it's a season five is already promised. Picard is coming back around the corner. We're getting that for season two. It's already been revealed that we're getting Q showing up again and Guinan.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how they do that. But, you know, I mean, like of all of these series, Picard is the one I'm into the most. He is my Starfleet captain. And then it's been announced that there are a couple of other series on the way. They won't be out this year, but Section 31, starring Michelle Yeoh, which is Section 31 is kind of like the what's the equivalent? They're like the CIA of Starfleet or something, but more covert. They're like the super undercover spy group within the Federation. So it's cool to get a spin-off series of them centering around Section 31. Michelle Yeoh, who is the Captain Georgiou. I'm saying that right? Yeah. I don't pronounce it any better than I do her real name. But she was the captain who was training the main character, Michael, in Discovery in the pilot. And now she's supposed to be in this series based around Section 31, called Section 31. And then we're also getting a Starfleet Academy series that's in the work. Allegedly. Some of this is still getting pitched, and we got to see if like the producers can actually convince the Paramount Plus people to, you know, launch the shows, which probably they will, because they're kind of just making all the Star Trek they possibly can right now. But I've always wanted to see a Starfleet Academy series. I always thought that would be a cool thing just to explore that, because every Star Trek series, the characters have talked about their days at the Academy and what that was like. And we got probably more of that in The Next Generation, because Picard was reminiscing about it and went back to visit when he was, while Wesley was there. So it'd be interesting to see a series that centered around that. Yes, exactly.
Is Starfleet Academy the place with all the Cylons?
So
I hate you.
Yes. So, Derek, but wasn't they?
Nay, you can log off now.
Didn't they do kind of like a backdoor pilot of Starfleet Academy? Maybe not, but like there was one of the first officers on Voyager, he was in an episode where he was part of Starfleet Academy with Wesley, and some bad stuff happened. And I just remember
it was the actor who played Tom Paris, and he's playing a different character. They recycle a lot of actors. That's what it was. Yeah. In the 90s, they recycled a lot of actors between Next Generation, sure, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and they played different characters.
Yeah.
What's his name who played Tuvok?
I can't remember.
He played like eight different characters between Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and then playing Tuvok on Voyager. So
I think he was
the actor that played Tom Paris. He played the kid who was at the Starfleet Academy with Wesley Crusher, and they did that maneuver where two people died in their like practice run, and then he took the fall for it. And then that same actor came back and played Tom Paris in Voyager, but they were different characters.
Thank you for refreshing my memory on that one. Yes. And then also James Cromwell, who played Zefram Cochrane in Star Trek First Contact. He played an alien once or twice.
Yeah.
In heavy makeup.
He played aliens sort of like eight times.
Yeah. There was a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are five series right now, some of which are getting released this year, and then we've got two more potentially coming in the future.
And one more!
Oh, yes. Which some fans say the Orville is actually more Star Trek than the new Star Trek series. I'm glad to hear the Orville is coming back. I did enjoy it. Anyway, it's the rate. In some ways, the fans say it's more like traditional Star Trek because it's more episodic, and it's, you know, they go from to one planet in an episode, and there's some thing going on, some kind of a mystery, or some challenge that they work through. It's more like Monster of the Week or procedural sci-fi mystery type thing, whereas the story structure of the new Star Trek series, they're much more serialized, the way a lot of TV is done these days. And so for fans of older Star Trek, there's kind of a draw to the Orville, because it's really a comedy. I mean, mostly a comedy, but it also is usually hour-long episodes, and it is hour-long episodes, and it's kind of takes itself a little more seriously, I guess, than it's not just a straight-up Star Trek. If that makes sense.
All right. We're going to speed through this last part.
Jim, do you want me to do just a quick rundown of the rest of the topics we wanted to cover, and then you can cover the last one?
Except for Fight Club. Luke's grabbing that one.
Okay, so I'll skip over that one. All right.
But we don't talk about that.
I love that we can only see Derek right now.
Yeah. So I'm going
to... That's okay. Really, I can, you know, run the show for now.
I'm going to do a real quick tap of the rest of these topics that we were going to discuss at length tonight, but unfortunately, somehow we talked too long. That's never happened before. Amazon Studios is going to release a first teaser for the Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power TV series on Sunday, February 13, during the Super Bowl. Spider-Man No Way Home is passing Avatar. The original run of Avatar at the box office now ranks number 3 of all time, not adjusted for inflation.
That's awesome.
Yes. Oh, sorry. No Way Home earned another $9.6 million over the weekend to finish Sunday with $749 million in ticket sales, less than $1 million shy of the $749.8 million grossed by James Cameron's Avatar in its original domestic run, not adjusted for inflation. Supernatural has a prequel series that's been announced. It's called The Winchesters.
They don't ever die!
And actually, Jensen Ackles, who played Dean, is going to be returning to be the narrator for the prequel series. How do you feel about that,
Katie?
We'll see. They've tried to do spinoffs before, but granted, this one is produced by Jensen and Daniil, so you know, we'll see. I'm gonna wait to let the show speak for itself.
Speaking of spinoffs, the Walking Dead series is getting a spinoff titled The Tales of the Walking Dead. It's gonna be I just got tongue-tied. I'm so sorry.
Second spinoff.
It's gonna be an anthology series that takes place in the Walking Dead universe. Each episode will focus on different stories happening in that world. It's been announced Terry Crews, Anthony Edwards, Parker Posey, Poppy Liu, Julian Bell, and the cast as the cast of Tales of the Walking Dead. No announcement regarding the roles they'll be playing. He-Man live action movie has now announced their leading man actor, West Side Story actor and star Kyle Allen is going to be the new version of He-Man. And he better, like Dolph Lundgren, better make an appearance. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, the one-line synopsis. An orphan named Adam discovers he's Prince destined to be the savior of a faraway land and must quickly learn of his power and the importance of saving his true home from the evil forces. The new Olympics Jurassic World Dominion trailer, there's a tie-in trailer where they have Winter Olympians doing all their things, and then there are dinosaurs chasing them, and it's really cute and fun, and if you like Jurassic Park and the Olympics, like me, you thought it was fun and cute and had a lot of fun watching it.
And we can end right there. That's it.
Those dinosaurs are almost as scary as the communists. So.
The
Walking Dead is really trying to continue to milk that franchise, though. Can we just say that? Like, I'm like, dude, y'all should just let it, like, let the zombies die. Like,
well, not the personal. What else does AMC have right now? They have Walking Dead. Beyond the Walking Dead. The Tales of the Walking Dead. Daryl and Carol are doing a spinoff series at the end of the Walking Dead.
Okay, but like,
it's a little much.
The Walking Dead.
My point is, aside from here and then when we mentioned Walking Dead, I do not hear anybody else still talking about The Walking Dead. Like, Who still watches it? That's my point. So that's all.
That's what I would also like to know. Except, I mean, if you're going to tell me Parker Posey is going to come kill zombies, I might be a little bit interested.
Yeah. Okay. Terry Crews and Parker Posey.
And it'll be hilarious and amazing. I mean, look at that Superman movie. It's the only good Superman movie because Parker Posey was in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they're probably going to lose some of the momentum, but I'm surprised they just keep coming out with more and more. So it must still have all the craze still there, but it doesn't seem like it's as big as when it originally started.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I would like for us as a group to do this year a retrospective on the many Walking Deads that are now Walking Dead. Really, it's meta of itself. It is a Walking Dead series. It is what it is. But you know,
is it Walking Deads or Walking Dead?
I don't know. All right, Cheeseman,
rambling. All right, let's do this. Let's talk about the thing we don't talk about, Fight Club, which in China now was actually censored. So
did you guys hear about this story?
Speaking of communists.
Yeah.
So basically they went in and they added some text at the end of the movie to make it seem like Tyler and the boys all got captured. And then, also that he ended up in an insane asylum like that. You like read at the end of the thing. I'm going to read this thing that it says, if I can get this pulled up. What happened?
Apparently they like cut it after like a certain point, but you're still seeing the flash coming through the window as the bombs are going off.
Yep.
But they cut it and then put the text on screen saying the police went in and like, you know, retrieved all the explosives before any of them went off and apprehended all the suspects. Yeah.
Do you have it there, Luke?
Yeah, I think I got it here now. So yeah, at that point, Derek's mentioning it says the police rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding. After the trial, Tyler was sent to a lunatic asylum, receiving psychological treatment. And that's their ending of Fight Club.
That's crazy.
They
want
to tie all loose ends because in their country, you know, like criminals can't get away with kind of this anarchy level of behavior. So they wanted to kind of do that, which had major backlash. And we have news that it returned back to the way it's supposed to be, which had this existed in the It's a Wonderful Life days, because in It's a Wonderful Life was one of the first movies where a criminal got away with something bad. And because before that time, before It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter completely like should have been kind of caught for stealing the money and causing all this problem, and he should have gone to jail. But back, like, had they been able to do this kind of thing, they would have probably had Mr. Potter was shortly after found that he stole the money and then it was returned to the Bailey business and
all that. And he was executed.
Yeah.
Hey, but Luke.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
What's in the box?
Oh, that's new and a little disturbing.
Wow.
That was a random segue of guess what I got in the mail today. So I got my box.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I was just thinking, that's not even the same movie. So I was really like.
Yeah,
he got Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
And we're just trying to put like pictures of Brad Pitt on screen however we can.
Was that the tune from Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
It almost had a little bit of that sound to it. No, it's stock audio.
What's in the box?
It's close. It's close. It's not the same, but it's close.
But it seems like anytime we've played this game, it always comes to the Brad Pitt. What's in the box?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, like,
why not start creating our own bumpers, please?
I like it.
This is how we are ending our show today, guys.
Unboxing. Like.
All right, cool. All right, Luke, what's in the box?
Do we have guesses?
Something.
No.
Something related to Jaws or Back to the Future or Jurassic Park.
Good guess, baby.
This is the most random, weirdest thing I've ever probably bought of a mashup of Jaws and something else.
Mm.
It's bright yellow.
Jaws and Jurassic Park.
It's bright
Jaws
yellow.
Jaws and Finding Nemo.
Derek would know more about this than us.
Well, give us a little bit more.
Show us, Luke.
What's bright yellow and floats in water, Derek?
A yellow submarine.
Rubber duckies.
Rubber ducky.
Oh, a rubber ducky.
A duck.
So, yeah, this is the exact thing I've ever bought compulsively. They made rubber duckies of Jaws figures. So we got Matt Hooper here.
That is really funny.
This is my favorite by far. This thing is so random. It's called Tubbs is the brand. But I got a Matt Hooper little ducky. I got a Quint. Look at this. Duck Quint. It's so ridiculous, but for some reason I had to have it. Biggest random spending I've done of something so strange. The Brody one's cool with the little cigarette hanging out of its mouth.
Oh, that's so
definitely
fun.
Kid-friendly and the chum bucket. Yeah. And I feel like I'm missing one. I thought I got the shark one, but maybe not. I'll have to check my email for that.
I'm waiting for Ben to like step in with a Donald Duck impression, but saying like one of the quotes from Jaws, like "We need a bigger boat." But
that's one of the impressions I just can't do. I would love to be able to do a Donald.
I can't do impressions.
Wait a second. What was that? What Donald? What was that? We need a bigger boat.
That's right. Pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Hey guys, I was just about to say, I think that impression skipped our generation. It was like our uncles that did that. And then,
I started doing Donald Duck as a little child.
I did want to do one last thing. This is just a plug. Let's pull it up. This right here, this is Charlene Amoya. She's a
girlfriend.
I wish, but anyways, she's from the show How I Met Your Mother. She was recurring as Wendy the waitress in the popular sitcom, but she has since traded in her apron for cowboy boots in her new series, Sons of Thunder Redemption, written by Jim Fry and Luke Cheeseman. Woo! She's being featured in OK Magazine this week, talking about how she had to learn how to rope a cow or rope a steer, but which is kind of cool. I remember when we wrote that scene, Luke wrote that scene, and we were told to take it out because we were told actors will waste half the day trying to learn how to rope the steer, but she did it. She roped that steer and it's great. So anyways, it is on Netflix. It's just a Faith and Family streaming network, Sons of Thunder, streaming right now if you get a chance to look at it. Luke, there's another picture on here. What is that? Did you add that?
Well, one of them, when I was watching Fight Club, we realized a friend of ours, Pat Jankowicz. How do you say his last name, Jim?
Jankowicz.
Jankowicz. So he was in Fight Club, and he's in it a lot, actually. So we texted him during it, and we'll have to have him on to talk about it sometime.
Do you guys remember? I know Katie and Danae, Pat Jankowicz was on, and he's no friend of technology. It's always hard to have him on because it's always something. But like we had some friends over, we all got together and watched Fight Club on Saturday night, and all of a sudden Luke saw Pat Jankowicz. He goes, "What?" So we texted him, and Pat Jankowicz, he was texting back, and he was so excited about Fight Club, and he and his brother are both in the movie. So we'll have to have Pat back on and talk about Fight Club if we can get him to a secure internet connection, because boy oh boy it's hard with him. Anyways, guys, this is our collection of stuff that we're excited about right now. Please comment and let us know what you guys are excited about. We will dive into that as well. One thing, WonderCon, I gotta tell you, there's zero information about WonderCon from CCI International. Right now is the time we're supposed to be finding out about hotels, badge sales, and all that good stuff. I do know this, that just last week was the deadline for submitting panels to WonderCon. So hopefully we are right at the cusp of finding out about WonderCon. There's a number of other conventions coming up. We should hear about a Star Wars Celebration somewhere in the near future. But also I know that Comic-Con in San Diego has sent out notifications up for vendors to get vendor tables at the convention. So things are moving ahead cautiously. Like Ben said, we're moving ahead cautiously. So it looks like the convention season might be different this year than it was last year when we all sat and stared at a computer screen. But
You know what? I'm just thankful for whatever blessings we get.
Also, in 2 months from Wednesday, on April 9th, the Renaissance Pleasure Fair comes back to Southern California.
Nice.
Ben and I have been talking about this pretty regularly for the last couple months about how we missed it for 2 seasons and me trying to figure out my cosplays. We need to finally get these guys there with us.
We're going. So
that's another thing that we are looking forward to. And it's outside, so it's a little bit like easier to like be like, oh, I'll do this. Like, it's outside. It's a little bit safer. But so excited that we finally, they haven't announced anything saying it's going to get canceled again. So we are very hopeful. Me and Ben are very hopeful.
I think NorCal just had their Renaissance Fair. So I think it's, unless there's some crazy thing that happens, which knock on wood, it doesn't. I think
we're guys are going on the road.
Yeah. Woo! So that's really excited about that.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This has been so much fun. We going through all the different fandoms and things that we're excited about right now. You can find me, Jim Fry, at James D. Fry on Instagram, Jim Fry LA on Twitter. Also, I just want to give a little tiny bitty shout out to my drink of choice tonight was from Paperback Brewery over in Glendale. And this little can I was drinking, this is not misogynistic, this is a funny can themed after paperback novels. Robot Strip Club. Robots just want to have fun. It's bizarre. It's so bizarre. All right, Danae, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at DNAYS, talking about books and writing. And yeah, let's have a great year, you guys.
That's right. Cheeseman.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and on theconguy.com.
Derek.
I'm occasionally on Twitter at ConGuyDerek and very often right here on theconguy.com.
Katie?
I am Katie, aka Katie Christine. You can find me on the ConGirls social medias. You can find me on all of my personals at KT_Christine across all social medias, TikTok, Twitch, all the whole shebang. Definitely too much on Twitter. So, yeah. Also, come see our show next Monday where we do Galentine's Day. So they'll still be good. Same time, other channel.
Ben.
All right, and I'll close this out. Everyone, my name is Ben Cleaver. You can find me on all social media, which is only Twitter and Instagram, at BenKlieWer. Special thank you and shout out to that hashtag show, one of the many networks, but our main network, our main squeeze. Thank you to our sponsors, Neft Vodka and Toink.com. Thank you to all of you who tuned in tonight live to watch us. Thank you to those of you who are watching this later or listening to the podcast on one of the many different outlets that you can hear us on. And reminder, hopefully we're moving out of this thing, but please continue to be safe, care about other people, and be kind to each other. This is a time when we all just need a little bit of grace. From one human to another. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And remember, everyone, the reason I'm drinking out of this red cup is because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Good night. Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.